First, I'm going to pray for you for a minute. I think of it as the spirit of Zerubbabel. When that spirit of Zerubbabel touches somebody, it's the Holy Spirit, but it's when people take ownership of the House of Prayer movement. They take personal ownership and responsibility. And they go, I'm not doing it for someone else. I care that the sanctuary is built and kept. I don't care how small it is. I'm all around the world. People got little prayer rooms. I am going to do my part. And I call that the spirit of Zerubbabel when he takes the plumb line in his hands. And the Lord says, I rejoice when you do that because you're taking ownership because none of the promises happened yet. They were just, none of the new morale and the money happened. But he took the shovel out, so to speak, and started digging the hole and took the plumb line out, started measuring the walls. And the Lord says, that's good. And a lot of folks join it once it gets strong. But there's a people in the earth who take hold of it when it's small and little and hard. And Lord, I ask you all around this room for the spirit that was on Zerubbabel. When he took the plumb line in his hands, he took responsibility in his generation, in the city that you put him in, for the house of prayer to be built, no matter what size it was. They went home with the dream in their heart, I'm going to strengthen the house of prayer. And they come back the next day and they go home, say, I'm going to strengthen it tomorrow. And they pray for it and they build it and they pour themselves into it. I ask you for that grace to rest upon this company of people. I ask for dreams and visions to confirm it. I ask for the revelation that your eyes rejoice when people take the plumb line in the early days and they say, this is my task, not just somebody else's. This is my house, not just somebody else's house. And I ask you for that spirit of grace on them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, my first, there's four, five, six, I haven't actually counted them, different encounters over the last 35 years about Zechariah chapter 4. And so it began, and I'm going to be a little vague about a few details just because it's appropriate to be that way because it involves other folks. But it was in the summer of 1984. So I was 27 years old, a long time ago, and I'd been in Kansas City for a year, had been connected with Bob Jones for about a year, a little bit over. I had this very powerful prophetic dream that I was in a certain building, and I don't want to name the building. That's the one thing, because it's other people are in that building, and I don't want to name it. But I was in this building, and this building was full, had about 1,000 people in it, and it was the house of prayer. And I knew we were going to start the house of prayer someday. You know, we had the sign, but I didn't know when, where, what, or what it looked like. So there's about 1,000 leaders in this building, and the leaders were marketplace leaders. They were ministry leaders of other pastors of churches and ministries. They were political leaders, born-again leaders in the city who loved Jesus. They loved the house of prayer. And they were coming for a dedication. And I think there's going to be my prayer or the way I envision it, we're going to have four or five fully functioning 24-hour prayer rooms. And so this is one of them, I'm thinking, that or something like that. So I'm in this building. And it's really clear we're going to have a dynamic connection with this ministry in this building. And I think, interesting. So I look over, and a man, the pastor of the largest church in the city, was sitting next to me. And again, this is 35 years ago, and he looked at me, and he said, what are you going to speak on? I said, because I'm dedicating the house of prayer vision with all these leaders in the city. I go, I don't know. He says, Zechariah 4 unto Ephesians 4. And I said, okay, Zechariah 4 unto Ephesians 4. And I'm thinking, Ephesians 4 means the body of Christ mobilized, a community, a New Testament church. Zechariah 4, I go, okay. And so I wake up from this dream. This is very powerful. It's very rare. I've had a few of these over the years, but this is one of the first ones I've had. And the Spirit of the Lord's resting on me, and I'm just going, wow, this is such a new experience. That was so clear. It was so powerful. So then I get in the car with a prophetic guy named Augustine. Some of you know that name. He was a prophetic guy that was real close with Bob Jones in the early days and very strong prophetic ministry. He went home to be with the Lord in the 90s, many years ago. So he's visiting in town, and it's about 8 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have a meeting with some folks, and we're driving, and he asked me. He did this very strategically. He's quite quite, not crafty, but quite something. And so we're driving down the road, and that church building is right down the road. I'm not even paying attention. And he looks over and he says, "Mike, tell me about your dream you had this morning." I said, "What?" He goes, "You had a night vision." And I was startled. I went, because a few times I've had these kind of encounters, like Bob Jones, I would never tell Bob Jones I had something. Probably five times, I've never counted it, five or six times I had a powerful prophetic dream or encounter. And the very next day, Bob Jones called me. And I didn't say a word to him. He told me, "The Lord visited you, and here's what you saw." And he didn't do it 5 out of 10. Not every time I had a dream, not every time. But the 5 or 6 times he called, always the next day, and always 100% accurate. He never missed it one time. And when he would say, "You had an encounter," I never said, "Yeah." I always said, "Well, if I did, tell me what it was." Because I don't want to stir them up and get people going. Then I don't believe it 30 years later. You know, I say, "Well, if I did, what was it?" And he was 5 in a row, exactly what I saw. But this is the only time this guy, Augustine, did it. He goes, "Tell me your night vision." And I didn't use terms like night vision. You know, that was a new term to me. I said, I said, "Well, how do you know?" He goes, "I saw in my night vision your night vision." And we're driving down the road, and we're 90 seconds away from going past this. It's a quite beautiful building. And I'm not even aware that we're coming up to next to the building. I'm intrigued that he just saw this. And he said, and I said, "Well, you tell me." And we're right in front of that building. He goes, "Thus says the Lord, you will connect with this people. You will be involved in this building and this people in the days to come. And he showed you that last night, and it's the real message from the Lord that he gave you." And I said, "That's exactly, I was in this building." I mean, that is so remarkable. We canceled the meeting. We were going to meet with somebody. We turned the car around and went to Bob Jones's house. And so we went to Bob, and I said, "Bob," Augustine says, "Bob, you know, the kid had a dream. He got one," you know, because I was always, they always made fun of me because I didn't get dreams and visions. I made handouts, though. They were pretty good ones. Well, not that good. I threw them all away since then, so not that good. But anyway, yeah, I did. But so I went to Bob's house, and I said, "Bob, I was in this building, and the Lord, and it was filled with leaders, and it's a house of prayer purpose, and we're dedicating it. I don't know exactly what we're going to do with the building, but we're in it." And Zechariah 4 unto Ephesians 4, I go, I don't even fully understand all that Zechariah 4 is about. I certainly didn't know it was about the prayer movement. I didn't know that. You know, I knew the verse, "Not by power, not by might." I knew that, everybody knew that verse, but I didn't know it was Zerubbabel building the house of prayer. And we're dedicating or promoting the house of prayer movement in the city with all these, again, marketplace, political, and ministry leaders from the city. And we were in that building doing it. So Bob says, "Well," he goes, "I don't feel nothing, but I'll ask the Lord next time I get an opportunity." So Bob calls me the next day, and he said, "Hey, you know that night vision you had yesterday?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "The Lord visited me last night, and he told me about it. He said he's going to confirm it to you in 8 days. I said, "How?" He goes, "I don't know. I don't know, but he's going to confirm it to you in 8 days. Okay. So I go, "Any idea?" He goes, "No." The Lord said, "Tell him in 8 days I'll confirm it." So it's 8 days later, and I'm anxious, you know, because I haven't had very many encounters like this myself. You know, I've been the recipient of other guys having them and telling me things the Lord told me without me telling them first. That's pretty, I mean, I love that. But I thought, okay, 8 days later, I'm out in the front yard playing soccer with my boys. They're like 4 or 5 years old. And Diane comes out, and she goes, "There's a guy on the phone," because I never would take a phone call when I was with my boys. That was a standard. She goes, "It seemed really different and really urgent." And he said, "It's a pastor in California, and he says the Spirit's on him, and he's got a prophecy to give you, and he's crying." I go, "Really?" So I go in the house. I go, "Hello?" And the guy says, "My name is Pastor so-and-so." And I know his name because he was famous in Kansas City at one time. Really well-known. Built a real big church. And actually, he built that church that I saw 8 days ago, but some years before. And he had resigned for some reasons. I don't know the story, and it was in California. And he said, "Hello, this is Mike Bickle." He goes, "This is so-and-so." And I go, I know your name. He goes, "The Lord told me to call you and prophesy to you." I said, "Okay." He goes, "I'm with 7 or 8 pastors in a restaurant. All the food is on the table." He goes, "I'm in Orange County." And he goes, "And they asked me, hey, what's happening in your old city, Kansas City?" Because he pastored here 30 years and built this really beautiful building. And he said, "I heard there's a young guy that moved to Kansas City that started prayer meetings. They do prayer meetings every night." Because we did prayer meetings every night for actually 16 years before IHOP started, by the grace of God. And so he said, "I told him that." And he goes, "When I told him, I don't know this man. I mean, we're not friends or anything." He goes, "When I told him that," he goes, "I started weeping." He goes, "And the Lord started speaking to me. So my food is in the restaurant at the table with 6 or 8 pastors. I came out to the parking lot." There was no cell phones in 1984. He goes, "I dialed 411. Who knows what 411 is? That's when they would give you anybody's phone number back in the day. He goes, "I dialed 411 and got your phone number." And I said, "Okay." So far, we're only 60 seconds into the conversation. And we only go 30 more seconds. It's a 90-second conversation. "The Lord told me he has a purpose with you in my old building, and the Lord's going to bring it to pass. And he wanted me to prophesy that to you right now." And he said, "I'd love to meet you and tell you this in person." We never met. I never did meet him. We never connected again. That was the 90-second conversation. There you have it. You know, I never ever had the chance to have the meeting. So in 90 seconds, 8 days after Bob Jones told me that, he says, the pastor who built that building calls me and says, "The Lord showed me there's a purpose with you in that building. And the building's not my concern. What is my concern was the message I got in the building directly in that night vision. Zechariah 4 to Ephesians 4. Unto Ephesians 4. I still, it's 8 days after, you know, it's summer of 84. I still don't know much about Zechariah 4. You know, again, I know that one verse, not by power, not by might. So some years go by. And now, that was 84. Now it's 1990. So 1990, okay? And so I have a New Year's Eve big celebration at our church. You know, bring in 1990s. But I'm supposed to be speaking at this conference in San Antonio. And it's this youth conference with Maranatha Ministry, 5,000 young people from college campuses. And I'm going to go talk about passion for Jesus, the first commandment. That's what, you know, that was my assignment. So... But I'm talking on January 1st. So on January 1st that morning, I can't, you know, after our late night New Year's Eve service the night before, I get on the airplane or whatever, 8 o'clock in the morning. Just note to self, if you ever want to fly in an empty airplane, fly on January 1st at 8 o'clock in the morning. The plane was completely empty. Man, I was just first class all over it. I owned the whole airplane. And so it's about I go to fly somewhere, layover flight, and then get to San Antonio. It takes me about 5 or 6 hours, the whole deal. And I feel prepared for what I'm going to share that night. So I thought, you know what? I just want to just go somewhere in the Word new. So I decided I'm going to study Zechariah 4. I don't really know Zechariah 4. So I turned to Zechariah 4, and I said, I'm going to do this. You know, maybe for an hour. I ended up spending the entire 6 hours. And I've never done that before with Zechariah 4. And because I'm trying to map out, you know that thing here? I tried to draw this. So I had the tree, but I had this receptacle over here and that bowl down there. I had it all. I couldn't make sense of it. And I'm thinking, Zechariah, what are you talking about? And I had 5 or 6 napkin tries at it. But I stayed the whole 6 hours, Zechariah 4. It wasn't like overly inspiring. But I remember I've never read Zechariah 4 for 6 hours. I mean, how many of you have read Zechariah 4 for 6 hours? Maybe 2 of you. But it's just, that's not a chapter you would think to do that until you know what's in it. Now that you know what's in it, you would. But I didn't know. And so I'm trying to figure it out. And I'm going verse by verse. It's quite confusing to me. And so I get off the airplane. 6 hours later, I got all these notes. I walk into the hotel. And Paul Kane's room, hotel room's next to mine. So he hears me, And he knows I'm going to be sharing later that night. He hears me in the door next to him. Oh, Missouri goes, oh, my, good to have you here. He goes, come here. Come here real quick. Real quick. He goes, I just had a powerful visitation this morning about you and about me. He goes, the Lord's inviting us to be involved in Zechariah chapter 4. I said, what? He goes, it was so profound. He goes, the Lord says he's going to be talking to you about Zechariah 4, and he's going to giving us an invitation to really take hold of this thing together. And I just could hardly believe he said that. And he unpacked a bunch of things, but I don't want to go into the details on that. But my point being, I said, Paul, that's the most remarkable thing that you just told me that. And because I just spent 6 hours on it, because I didn't tell him what happened in 84. I didn't even bother to tell him that, because I have always found that if you don't tell the prophetic people the details and they give them to you, they mean a lot more to you than if you tell them the whole story and they add, and the Lord would further say unto thee, you know, they add a little extra point to it. That's still nice, but it's really powerful when they don't know anything about it and they tell you the details. So in 1990, he comes in, but he gives me some details on this, and it's very moving. I mean, I'm so gripped by this. And so now that's 1990. And so I leave that with a real sense of what's going on. And so then some years go by, and we start IHOP. And I'm very aware now that Zechariah 4 is about a house of prayer and a movement. We start IHOP 99, 9 years later. And I've been studying and praying over it after Paul K. gave me that word on January 1st, 1990. So now we go to Italy, me and Paul Kane, and we're invited to participate in this big Catholic charismatic conference. They have like 50,000 people that meet every year, and all charismatic in my language, born again, they would say spirit-filled, but, you know, I'm happy with that language. And so they have like 50,000. They've been meeting like for 30 years and they still meet. And so they were inviting us to come because of the House of Prayer movement. And so I come to this. And so there's this really famous prophetic man that everyone in the land knows. It would have been their Paul Kane. I heard stories from 25 people said, do you know about Father Mateo? He's in his 80s. They go, this guy is... he moves in a level, he goes, in the spirit, you know, he says he had these dreams and visions, very similar to Paul King, words of knowledge with clarity. He's in his 80s now, and he goes, maybe you'll get a chance to meet him. So I go to the conference, and I remember I got to see him on the stage. There's literally 50,000, maybe 40, I don't know the number, because every year it's a little higher or lower. I can't remember the exact number that year. I've been there a couple times. And so this guy gets up and teaches on marriage, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, on marriage. You know, it's kind of a sleepy hour for a conference meeting. And there's translations. You know, I'm hearing the English translations. There's 50 languages, 50,000 people from all around the world. And this guy gives a quite good message on marriage. And he takes the microphone and he hands it to Father Mateo. This probably is 85 or something. I don't really know how old, but I remember that he was old. And he was sitting in a chair. And they want him to do the ministry time. And no one tells me that's Father Mateo. You know, he's just got on a white thing and robe. And so he's up there way far away. Think of the One Thing Conference. Think of it three times bigger down the way, or twice as big, whatever the number would be. So I can't even hardly see him. And this guy's sitting there. He goes, blah, 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 Cristo, blah, 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 blah. And the power of God hits the room. He just whispers, he mutters that all I heard was Cristo. That's the only one I could make sense of. Santo Cristo, blah, 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 blah. What do you say? And what happens in this room, I've never seen anything like this, is that he's praying for repentance and for people to say yes to their marriages or whatever, whatever. I mean, I don't really quite, couldn't quite make sense of it through the translator. And, you know, maybe there's 30, 40,000 in the afternoon meeting, like, 300 people over here, 500 people over there. They fall to the floor, shaking under the power of God, demons coming out of them. And I'm going, he's going, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And I go, what is going on? And the guy next to me goes, that's Father Mateo. I went, I've never seen anything like this. I go, he goes, he really operates in this kind of authority. That's why this and this and this about him. So then he sits down, never raises his voice higher than this. And he says about two sentences and stops for 3 minutes. And everybody's, you know, a lot of folks are just looking around like me. And there's maybe, I'm guessing, a couple thousand among the 30 or 40,000 that afternoon session. A couple thousand, the power of God's on them. They're on the floor crying. Their demons come out. There's some of them are just shaking all over the place. I mean, like a deliverance type thing. Then about 2 minutes later, he does it again. Boom, it hits again. And then he waits for 5 minutes. Then he does it the third time. It hits again. And I thought, I've never seen anything quite at that level before. And then a guy comes to me and they said, hey, Father Mateo would like to meet Paul Kane. Because he heard about Paul Kane and Paul Kane heard about him because they're kind of like, I don't know if they're similar, but they're something. And anyway, they had a certain kinship and they said, would you get Paul Kane? Would you and Paul Kane come meet Father Mateo? I go, oh my goodness, I would love to. So we got together with Father Mateo and he was telling us about being a Catholic priest in Rome during Nazi Germany and how he had to stand for the faith when Mussolini and Hitler did. I mean, I was eating it up. I go, and the what and the who? And he goes, oh, it was so intense and blah, blah, blah. So, that was another thing. But I was very fascinated in that. And then at the very end of the evening, he says, some guy says, hey, would you pray for them, Father Mateo? He goes, yeah. And so, you know, he speaks in Italian, a little bit English, but he wants to. So he prays over us, and he opens his Bible, and he turns it over, and I said, Lord, if there's any word you've given me and Paul Kane that was so dear and important to me together with Zechariah 4, he turned right to Zechariah 4, and he pointed at it, and he pointed to me, and Paul goes, you, this is your calling and your future. This is what he's invited you to walk in. And, you know, I don't know. Someone says, did Paul Kane walk in and he's with the Lord? I don't want to comment on that. But all I know is I know this passage is very important. And there's a couple other lesser things that happen like that, but that's kind of the overview. And so I'll just end with that. I'll pray for you again. How's that? Okay. Zechariah 4, the Lord means this for us. It's 3 and 4 because the two go together. You can't separate those two chapters, actually. Father, I just say thank you that you spoke 1984 in that night vision to me. At least that's what Bob Jones called it in Augustine. And you, I was in that building and you spoke to me, Zechariah 4 unto Ephesians 4. And I didn't know anything. And I thank you that that prophetic man, Augustine, saw it the next morning and called it out. And that you gave Bob Jones the confirming word that it would be confirmed in 8 days. And that man from California called me 8 days later and said, yes, God has called you to be involved with that people in my building. He has a grand, a big purpose in Kansas City that will unfold in the future. And then Paul Kane, 8 years later, 1990, Lord, that you gave him the word that day for 6 hours on that plane. And then Father Mateo, 10 or 12 years later in Rome in Italy, that's the word he received, Zechariah 4. And Lord, I just prophesy it over us. And I say that Zechariah 3, we are a people that your mercy will prevail over our failures. That your mercy is stronger than our failures. And that not just me, but I'm thinking of Joshua and his companions, that a company of people is the idea. A company of people would enter into the reality of being a wondrous inspiration assigned to others that the mercy of God is bigger than our failures if we would rise up and obey you. And Zechariah 4, that against all odds, with opposition of people, lack of finance, all the things that Zerubbabel faced, you said, grace, grace, and there will be a supernatural supply of oil that will flow. And we will see the capstone, the completion, not just of a building project, of a divine purpose. I call forth the completion of this house of prayer movement. It may be 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now. I don't know. I call forth the completion. Lord, I call forth my own involvement to fullness and the others that would even have more involvement and different involvement than me and longer involvement, whatever. I have no opinion about that. I call it forth. And Lord, I just prophesy right now that the spirit of Zerubbabel would infuse our community. We'd take up the plumb line. we would own the house of prayer. We'd own that prayer room. Whether it's full or empty, 2 a.m, 2 p.m, 10 p.m, we would own it because you're rejoicing when we take up the plumb line. Your eyes are rejoicing, though men are despising it. Even the workers despise it because of the difficulty, but you rejoice over it, for you know where this is going. And I ask for that spirit of Zerubbabel. I say grace, grace over this company of people right now. Lord, I say grace, grace over IHOP. I say grace, grace over the Ephesians 4 functioning New Testament community. I speak grace, grace over it in the name of Jesus and over our lives. And I ask you, God, for a spirit of prophecy to come upon us even now. Lord, and I ask for this oil to come upon us even now. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good. We'll just end with that. Bless you.